podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you decided to join us and hope you enjoyed this week's message.
God never removes anything from anyone without giving something better in return to take its place. He used the flood to destroy the world, but he started a new and better world through the righteous family of Noah. Later, God took away the political freedom from the Jewish nation, but he gave them a new and better king, the Messiah he had promised them. The body of the Messiah was drained of his life-giving blood, but God gave us this communion loaf and cup to help us remember our glorious King of Kings. The plan and design of God has always been one of giving and taking. We must be tuned in to the divine plan of give and take. When someone we love or something we value deeply is removed, we should remember God's give and take pattern. What we see as taking may be him actually giving. He may be giving us the opportunity to exercise and affirm our faith and trust in him. This kind of faith can never be taken away. This quiet time around the table of the Lord is not a replacement for what you may think has been taken away from you this past week. Rather, it is an opportunity for us to see the gift God has for us. Only those who can say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," can find it. Perhaps this will help us see that losses are not always losses and gains are not always gains. At the table today, we are reminded that what may look like an end may be a wonderful beginning. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Let's pray. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessed assurance we have in accepting your Son, Jesus Christ, into our lives and knowing the eternal salvation we have with you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you keep us always steadfast and true in your faith, hope, and love for you, no matter what the evil in this world tries to put in our way. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon this bread and this fruit of the vine as we take it in remembrance of Christ's sacrifice he made for us on the cross on Calvary. We love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, we're in the last sermon in the the Fruit of the Spirit series, and today we've got the last three to go through. Before we get into that, I got to share some facts with you that you need to know and share with your family. He who laughs last laughs best. He who laughs at Chuck Norris has had his last laugh. Chuck Norris eats bullets for breakfast. That's all fine and good, but watch out for when he burps, okay? And Chuck Norris, I don't know if you knew this, this is a follow-up for last week's Mother's Day celebration. Chuck Norris was born in a log cabin that he built with his own hands. There we go. There we go. You guys know what you need to know today. All right, our last part in the Fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Sorry, guys, I better grab this clicker. There we go. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the last three parts of the Fruit of the Spirit that we're going to talk about today. Let's review that verse, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You can look the Bible over for anything that would prohibit you from doing any one of those nine things in your life. There is nothing condemning that. That is what we should be doing with our lives. So, faith, faithfulness. Faith, I think Tom read that to you this morning from Hebrews 11:1. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I know God exists. I know heaven is there. I'm convicted of that. But Ryan, have you ever seen it? Nope. I know it's there. Faithfulness is taking that conviction and translating it into being a dependable and a reliable individual following the word that God has given us. Faithfulness is dependability and reliability. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. So when we're looking at faithfulness, who's our example? God is. God is our faithful example. God himself has been faithful always. Never once has he ever failed. And he will strengthen and protect us from the evil one. It's not that he might, he will. I love that part. God's faithfulness was on display to Noah and his family after they rested on the ground in the ark and came out of the ark after the floodwaters had receded. He told Noah, he said, listen, while the earth remains, we're going to have seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer, winter, day and night. It's not going to stop. Guess what we still have today? All of those things. God has been faithful in what he's promised, and this is one of the clear examples I have for that. So he is dependable. He is reliable. He is faithful. Remember his promises he made to Abraham, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Did that happen? Yes, it did. He promised David somebody would always be on the throne from his genealogy. Jesus came from the line of David, and he reigns on the throne today. Another fulfilled promise from God. He rescued Noah. He delivered Noah. The rest of the world was destroyed, but Noah and his family survived because they listened and obeyed God, who faithfully told them what to do to survive. And he was faithful by bringing us Jesus, the one who was able to restore our relationship with him that we had lost. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we hit the waters of immersion and we came up brand new creations, sin-free, 100% holy and clean, very quickly after that, we fell back into some of the old habits that we had not gotten rid of through that act of repentance. It's happened to all of us. We all have sin coming back into our life that affects us. What I don't want us to do is ever give up, throw in the towel, or just despair. What I want us to do is confess our sins to God. Because the faithful God that we serve, that has been so faithful from the beginning of time, what is he going to do when we confess our sins? He'll forgive us our sins. And he'll cleanse us, not from some unrighteousness, but from all unrighteousness. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we have confidence in now that his spirit dwells inside of us. Another verse, Colossians 1, 22 and 23. He has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That's how clean Jesus makes us when he forgives our sins. The next verse, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Wow, that's pretty awesome. We're cleansed from all unrighteousness and we're made holy and blameless. If we do what? If we continue in the faith. That means we need to be dependable and reliable. Can we do that on our own? Let's shake our heads like this. Nope. We cannot be dependable and reliable on our own. But who is dwelling inside us as Christians? God's Holy Spirit, who is faithful and who is reliable. That is what we are striving to do. That is why we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit this week, because we need to know that God's power in us helps us to continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast. Let's look at Luke 16. Luke 16:10. Since God has been faithful with us, and he's given us the faithful spirit that indwells us, what is our prerogative? What are we supposed to do? Luke 16:10 says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." Key in on a very little thing. That's what we want to do. We don't want to try to be perfect right now, today. We want to try to be faithful in the little things that come our way every moment of every day. What are some of the little things that come into our life every day? I came up with a short list, and this is what I could come up with. You guys can make your own list as well. But prayer. If we can be faithful in the little things and make sure that we speak to God and tell him our thoughts, our needs, our wants, and have a good open communication with him, that's being faithful in a very little thing. Reading his word that he's using to speak to us. And not only reading it, but studying it too. Because when I read the scriptures, I come up with questions. I'm like, what is he talking about here? Where are we going with this? Study will help us figure out some of those particulars. Being immersed into Christ has brought us into the body of Christ. So what he's required of us to do, these very little things, is be in attendance with the body of Christ. And that attendance is awesome. It's cool that we show up, we listen to the word, we spend some time in prayer, we take the Lord's Supper, we have an opportunity to give. What about fellowship? What about actually knowing the other people in the body of Christ? They go hand in hand. So not only are we here, but we're investing in each other. I love that those are the little things that we can do, that we can be faithful in, to give us more encouragement to continue to be faithful. And the minister part is not just somebody up on the stage presenting the word. It's actually our responsibility as the body of Christ to minister to others. So we have an opportunity to be faithful in these little things. When somebody has a question, I don't know what to do about this situation. Can you help me? We get the opportunity to point them in the right direction. We get the opportunity to tell them about Jesus, who could change their life for the better for eternity. In our giving, we can give of our time, of our energy, of what God has blessed us with. God has given us talents, and he has not given us those talents to say, use them for yourself, I don't care if I get them back. What has God told us to do? He said, use those talents that I've given you to bring glory and honor to me. It's about taking the stuff that I have and making sure God is glorified through it. In our contentment, this faithfulness that we have is able to look at our own lives and see the blessings that God has given us, the growth that we need, and be okay with it. We're not going to compare ourselves to anybody else. We say, well, I wish I was like so-and-so. I wish I was like this or like that. It's like, hey, God has got me where I need to be right now, and I'm content. I'm okay with that. There's that faithfulness in the little things that we can exercise and be content. And in our speech, faithful in our speech, there's ways that we can speak that are hurtful. There's ways that we can speak that are helpful. In our faithfulness to God, in our obedience to him, which speech do you think God wants us to have? He wants us to be helpful. He wants us to be loving. And so that's how we can exercise these little things in the faith and allow the Spirit to work in us. If we're struggling with these things, if we've mentioned them this morning and we're like, nope, not good at that, nope, not good at that, nope, not good at that, this is an opportunity for us to say, enough is enough. I'm going to get good at these things. I'm going to start taking faithful steps in obedience to Christ and his commandment for my life. Those are the things that I came up with. You can think of the other things as well. If we're faithful in the little things, God is going to continue to bless us and fill us with much. What is much? Much is an eternal reward in heaven that we can't even imagine or fathom. This life that we're living is a little blip on the map, and eternity is going to be our focus very shortly. What we need to do now is be faithful in a very little. And I think we can do that. I think it's manageable for us to take step by step in faith, following the example that Jesus laid down for us. Moving on. After faithfulness, the next part of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. It's strength under divine control. We know we can do things. We know we have the power to do things. Sometimes those things aren't good. Sometimes the good has to come through a bad situation. And that gentleness, it takes the strength that we have inside and utilizes it in the Spirit's control through whatever situation comes our way. I like to think of it as being able to withstand attacks from the same people you're trying to be kind and love. Like, you're trying to be nice and kind to them, and they are attacking you. We don't retaliate. We don't add insult to insult. We don't become discouraged. We just say, I sure would love to help you through this situation. Here's what I can do for you. And if they spit on us, they spit on us. What we need to do is answer every situation with gentleness. That's exactly how Jesus did it. Jesus was gentle with so many people. In Matthew 12:20, it tells us what he did. A battered reed he will not break off. A smoldering wick he will not put out. We have been there. We have been discouraged at times where it only takes one more bad thing to happen to us until we throw our hands up in the air and we go into our bedroom, shut the door, turn the lights out, and just disappear from the world for a time until we can get back on our feet and try again. Did Jesus ever see somebody in that situation and drive the final nail in the coffin and break their spirit? He never did. Matthew 12:20, he did not hurt someone who was battered. He did not snuff out the little bit of flickering flame they had in their lives anymore. He met them where they were, gave them a gentle companion, and brought that flame back to life. Restored the reed that was battered. He didn't break it. He restored it. Tens of thousands of people had to have been healed and helped by him in his ministry. That's astounding. And it changed the world. And the world is still changed today because of that gentleness. He had every right to condemn every single one of us and say we weren't worth his time. But he still looked past that and saw what we could be in him through the Holy Spirit. And because knowing that, because we would know what a person's life could be like in the Spirit, it will help us to treat them with gentleness and not be insulting and not be discouraging, but to help pick them up in the bad place that they're in and get them to a place where they're strong in their faith with Jesus. We've been instructed to do what Jesus did. Let's look at Colossians 3:12. It says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In 1 Peter 3:15 and 16, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Let's do it with gentleness and reverence. When we can meet somebody in their despair and we can bring them out of their despair and put them back on their feet and encourage them, they're going to be asking us, why did you help me? Why are you so happy? They're asking us to tell them why we have hope. That's a perfect opportunity for us to be gentle, continue to be gentle, and give God the glory, revere God, and tell them, listen, the reason I do have hope is because I've been where you're at, and God has restored me, and he can do the same for you. And I want you to know, that there's nothing in me that's really great. It's God who lives in me, His Holy Spirit that is in me, that is helping me to do what's right, to help people in need like yourself. So that's really encouraging to me. I hope you guys are able to see that as well as I can see that. The 16th verse, keep a good conscience, that in a thing that you're slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Some people are not going to like that we're doing good. They're going to be jealous. They're going to be envious. They just don't want us doing nice things. And so they're going to talk bad about us. But I want us to remain gentle and reverent to God and keep a clear conscience so that when they're talking bad about us to other people, those other people can look at us and they can look at what they're saying and say, I don't agree with what you're saying. I agree with what they're doing. And they'll bring honor to and glory to God because of your good conduct. God did call us to good behavior, even when we're slandered, especially when we're slandered, and our gentleness in the Spirit will shine through. God will vindicate us, and we can wait on Him. We can be patient and wait for Him to bring the ones that revile us back into good standing with Him. Because our hope is not that they are condemned for what they said. Our hope is that they repent and they're restored to God. Enough about gentleness. Let's move on to the last and the best thing, self-control. We're all good at that, aren't we? Yep, I figured as much. I'm not really good at it. Self-control. It's the power to restrain the forces and appetites that could enslave or harm or ruin us. This is one of the few things that the fruit of the Spirit does that protects us from the negatives in life. We have fleshly desires to not share the dessert with anybody, to not be kind to people that need kindness. That's the flesh inside of us fighting against the Spirit that God has made to live in us. And He told us, this is how you fight it. You deny it. You restrain those fleshly desires and put them in submission to the Spirit that lives inside of you. Jesus set that example for us with self-control. He went 40 days and nights and fasted. And immediately after those 40 days were up, before He could take His first bite, Satan shows up. He wasn't just ignoring food for 40 days. He was meditating on God's word at the same time. We've been shown that example to follow. He successfully rejected Satan's temptations at his weakest physical point to show us that we, in the flesh, can do the same thing and overcome temptations. How did he do it? He relied on the Spirit. How do we do it? We rely on the Spirit. We use self-control. When Satan said, I know you're hungry, Jesus said, yep. He said, well, why don't you turn that stone to bread? Yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. I totally can. The problem is, that's not what God wants. God wants me to be self-controlled. And he was. And he told Satan, take a hike. We can do the same thing. How many of us have done 40-day fasts? I've never done a 40-day fast. I've gone like 12 hours, and I get pretty cranky after 12 hours. Jesus was totally self-controlled. We are working with those small, little steps of faithfulness, little steps of obedience to the Spirit. We're working our way up to that point where we can go 40 days and remain faithful. I know we can get there, and I know that's something we can do. What are we using self-control against? These things that can enslave, harm, and ruin us, they're laid out in 2 Timothy 3, 2, and 4. This is a pretty gross passage of Scripture. I wouldn't like to be around somebody who was like this. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That sounds like a terrible, disgusting person I wouldn't want to be. At times, I have been some of these definitions of what I'm not supposed to be. Our self-control that God is causing us, or God is calling us to be obedient to the Spirit in our life, is to not fall into this category anymore with our life. It's pretty clear to me that I don't want to be any of these things. I think it's clear to you guys too. So we're throwing these bad qualities off that used to be present, and we're replacing them with obedience to the Spirit. Self-control is a really good thing. It's not an easy thing that you can do once and you're okay with the rest of your life. It's a constant call. It's a constant work that you have to invest in. So when you start self-control at an early age, sometimes it looks like this. I want you guys to see this little video. It's going to make you laugh a little bit. But I think it's a really good illustration of how self-control works.
Sure. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay? All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. Oh, it smells really good.
It's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. So I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did? You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
There we go. That's self-control personified. I find that the little red-haired girl, I relate to her the best. Yeah. You can eat this anytime. Okay. All right. We made it through. All the way to self-control, let's recap. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's thinking and doing the best for those that we're around. Joy, knowing that God has us. He's got us. Nothing can take us away from Him. That joy helps us get through everything that gets thrown at us in this life, because we know no matter what, God has us. Peace. Peace with God, because we ruined it and Jesus forgave it. And now we have peace with God again. Even though the world can be at war, we can be at peace with God. Patience, like that bottle of pop that you shake up, let's keep the lid on it. Let's wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, we'll come back to it. Then we can open up that lid and nothing bad happens. Patience is keeping those emotions under wraps. Kindness, meeting the needs and helping those around us. We have to have a mindset that we're going to be helpful to people and we're going to find the need. Goodness. Goodness is honorable conduct and a generous spirit. Faithfulness today is being dependable and reliable. Gentleness is strength under divine control. And self-control is don't eat the marshmallow. Power to restrain our fleshly desires. With our self-control, you know those kids had to stare at that marshmallow the whole time. It would have been so much easier to avoid that temptation if they just could have got up out of that chair and walked out of the room, right? That's what we want to do with our self-control. If we're being tempted by something, turn the other way, find somewhere else to be, all right? That'll make it easier. Thank you so much, guys, for putting up with me and listening to these things. I am so thankful that we do have the Spirit in our lives. The Spirit that indwells us is the power that we need to successfully have this fruit in our life. It's not going to come from Ryan's strengths. It's not going to come from our ability. It's coming from God. And because it comes from God, that's the fruit that we're going to see. If we don't see that fruit in our life, are we letting the Spirit control us? If we don't see the fruit, the answer is no. If we see the fruit, the answer is yes. If you need to get the power of Jesus in your life, why don't you come up and talk to me this morning as Jim and the crew come up and sing our invitation song. I'd like to invite you up here to start your walk with Christ and get that old man out of the way so you can start living a life in obedience to God.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we have a traditional service at 8:45 and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Check our Facebook page for evening adult and youth service times throughout the week.